You will turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Our Lord Jesus, in the latter part of this chapter, tells, and namely in verse number 27, he speaks about the Father, and makes it very clear, and the Lord speaking here, that the Father cannot be revealed other than to those whom the Son reveals him. And then he says these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," verse number 28, "and I will give you rest." And that's the focus for this morning, is that of rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I believe in this passage we indeed see that invitation of the Lord to come unto him. And sinners in and of themselves are indeed laboring and burdened, heavy laden under their sins and the condemnation, the coming damnation that goes with it. And the Lord's the only one that can save, the Lord's the only one that can give rest from that labor indeed and that great weight. As the children of God, may we not forget that it is our Lord that saved us. And you know what? We get burdened down too. We take a look at the church membership and the families of the church, and we've got a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And may we not forget that our Lord can help us and give us rest. In this about discipleship, our Lord says in verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you." We all do have a yoke, whether we admit it or not. And the Lord says, take his. He says, learn of him. And child of God, oh, learn of him indeed. Learn about your Savior. Learn about him and what he's done for you. He says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart," and we need to be so too. And he says what? "And you shall find rest unto your souls." So there's a great rest in our Lord, learning of him. As a brother sang about our Lord Jesus, and when all stood against him, yet he was diligent and faithful, filled with the greatest fidelity, right? He stayed on the track and on the mission that needed to be accomplished so a sinner like you and me can be saved. Oh, even though we hate him naturally. Yes, that's right. We hate him naturally. This old flesh, this old man hates the Lord. Hates the way of the Lord. Yet he did what he did for us. He says, "You shall find rest unto your souls," verse 30, "for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, and indeed it is. Indeed it is. Oh, it may be that life may be, it may be for you and me as the Lord's child that this life be very, very difficult, filled with much calamity and heartache and maybe illness, sickness, the frailty of the flesh. But you know what? The Lord's yoke yet is easy and his burden is light. And may we know that, and may our Lord help us to know that indeed. Rest. Rest in our Lord. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. And here, as our brother writes, and to the Jews, he takes in this chapter an opportunity to speak about rest. That is the subject. And you know what? You know when the best time to get rest is? It's when you're tired. Amen? When you're tired. And our Lord has rest indeed in him. Let's take a look here at this chapter. We're just going to walk through it. May our Lord help us and speak to us. Would ask this question, do you have rest? Do you have rest? Do you have rest in the Lord? In chapter 4 in Hebrews, verse number 1, he says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." There's a promise of rest in our Lord. And, of course, the direct context is that he's speaking to the Jews, and I believe he's challenging those Jews, some saved, maybe some not, and the way that he lays out about Christ in the book of Hebrews is a great and wonderful thing. Many things about the Lord Jesus Christ that we understand directly, namely his priesthood, from the book of Hebrews. So even though it's written to the Jews, it does speak to us Gentiles who are saved, those who are of the children of faith, those are of Abraham's children. There's a promise of rest, and that promise is given by our Lord. That's the topic for the chapter. He says there's a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Not a rest that you and I would choose, but his rest. And there is an entering into that, You understand how it is to enter into a building. You entered into this building today. You enter into your houses where you live and that. We go into our vehicles. You know, he says there's a promise that we can enter into his rest. And he's writing and mentioning this subject, unless there be any that should seem to come short of that. The topic indeed is rest. And this chapter is connected to chapter 3. Chapter 4 is indeed connected to chapter 3. Where chapter 3, the brother speaks about how Christ is the householder. Moses was faithful, but Christ is even yet more faithful. And he hails back to what was said in that day by the Lord as he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hear my voice. Isn't that what it's been from the beginning? Hear the voice of the Lord. Hearken to his voice. And he talks about the failure of those children and how they provoked him for 40 years. And the first generation, and during that 40 years where the first generation was taken away and the next generation was raised up. And this chapter 3 ends with a very sad a commentary about that first generation. Verse number 18 of chapter 3, "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not." No faith in the Lord. Not faith in self, but no faith in the Lord. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So, they, having been delivered in such a great way from Egypt, many could not trust and rest in our Lord. They'd seen more things than you and I physically have seen the Lord ever do. And they just didn't find it within themselves to trust him, to rest in him. Verse number two of Hebrews 4. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, being not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached to them, Brother Jim." Well, that wasn't the gospel that they knew at that time. You and I know it. It's been fully revealed. But you know what? In that day, the gospel was, and the gospel always has been this. It's the elementary, the beginning understanding of the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. Just like Brother Jonah knew it. Salvation's of the Lord. Jonah was willful and disobedient against his Lord. And you know what? He declared when the Lord rescued him out of the belly of the whale, salvation is of the Lord. Listen to what the Lord and what is declared by Brother Moses in Exodus 14:13. "As the children of Israel are hemmed in on three sides, and one of those sides is by the Red Sea, and the Lord had told him to go there, Brother Moses declares unto the children of Israel, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today." That's always been the message, is that the Lord saves. And our only help and hope is in our God and our Creator. And you and I have the great blessing. We've got this word of God, the scripture that the Lord, the oracle of God that he has revealed unto mankind. And you and I have it readily in our day. And we live on this side of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ after he gave his life on Calvary, was buried and rose again the third day. You and I, we have the blessing to see that whole picture, the pinnacle of the salvation of the Lord through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel at hand in that day was preached unto them. You know what? They didn't believe. There were many that didn't believe. Although we see some that believed, didn't we? We saw about Brother Joshua recently and Brother Caleb, Brother Moses, Brother Aaron, others and their families, no doubt. But then there were many that said, it's just not enough. It's too weak. I can't comprehend it with my eyes. I can't touch it like I want to. Verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That first rest that we have of our Lord is our rest in the salvation of our soul. By faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance of sins and faith in him, I tell you what, it brings a rest. I tell you what, when the Lord was convicting me and I was serious afraid of going to hell and dying in the night, just come life being snuffed out, I tell you what, when the Lord saved me, brought me to the end of me, and I come to rest in him, trust in him, you know, I had peace. Had a great burden lifted. Didn't have fear anymore. You know, when you rest, you're not afraid. The rest that we're talking about of the Lord. You know, it's hard to rest when you got a lot on your mind at night. Some are very plagued with that. Everything about life goes around on the carousel of the mind. Why? There's fear. There's uncertainty. There's reckoning. There's figuring. There's fear of something worse happening than what seems to be shaping up. When you're fearful, you can't rest, can you? I tell you what, having your soul saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rest knowing that he paid for our sins, paid for my sins, paid for your sins. That first rest that we have in our Lord is indeed our rest and the salvation of our soul. For we which have believed do enter into rest, and we do. As he said, listen to this, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. So the Lord is speaking about, and the brothers referencing a time where the Lord is angry with them. Why? Because they've not believed him. He's made it very clear. He's been faithful in delivering this group, this nation of Israel, Jacob's children. He's been faithful in doing everything. They left Egypt without a shot being fired. But they just can't remember that. They went from being held by Pharaoh to being jettisoned by Pharaoh. And they just cannot hang on to that fact that the Lord had done that to them. Psalm 95. Take a look over here. Brother David writes about this. And let's go over here to Psalm 95 and see about it. Psalm 95. We'll just read this entire psalm and then touch on a couple verses. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Sounds like this man's resting, doesn't it? Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving for what he's done for us and who he is, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, singing. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills, hills is his also. Verse 5, the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Look at that relationship. The Lord's people, the Lord's servants, the Lord's children are not a stock for the Lord just to whip and abuse and to drive. But he says we're the sheep of his pasture. He's very caring for his people, isn't he? He's proven that through the millennia, that he loves his own. And he is good and blessed and faithful to those that just trust in him. He's proven it over and over again for some 6,000 years. The people of his pasture and sheep of his hand, today, if you will hear his voice. You know what? You and I, we as his children, we have trouble trusting in the Lord at times, don't we? I know what the Bible says, Brother Jim, but I just don't know if that's going to work in my life. We've got the same kind of issues, don't we? Today, if you will hear his voice, what the Lord says he means, and he means what he says. And you know what? We can trust him. Verse number 8, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Oh, the tone of the psalm goes dark, doesn't it? The hardening of hearts, the lack of faith in the Lord. As in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. That's a testimony of the scriptures that the children of Israel saw the acts of the Lord. They saw what he did. He saw what they did for them, what he did for others, and the calling of their leader, Brother Moses and Aaron and that. They saw the faithfulness of Brother Joshua and Brother Caleb, how they were steadfast, even if the whole multitude would undertake. 10 spies stood against them, and the whole multitude would undertake to stone them. They said, the Lord will give us the land. And would stand there while the nation would stone them. They would not bend. They saw the acts of the Lord. But it was unto Moses and those other brethren. The scripture testifies about Moses that the Lord showed him his ways. The way the Lord operates. The big picture of our Lord. That the Lord is trustable and what he says goes, and that we can rest in him. The psalmist declares this. They've not known my ways. Verse number 11, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Wouldn't believe. Would not and did not believe. Back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 3, there it says, as he said, I've sworn in my wrath, enter into my rest. If it's before us. Child of God, you can, being saved by the Lord. But will you? Will I? In Hebrews chapter 3, the previous chapter, it says in verse number 7, wherefore, we want to take a look at the sub-thought here, as the Holy Ghost saith, the Spirit of God, today, if you will hear his voice. You have some issue in your life that you're not having rest. You can rest in the Lord. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? Well, unbelief is the issue, isn't it? Yet again, unbelief is the issue. For we which have believed, it says in verse number 3, do enter into rest. And those that do not believe, do not. See, you've got to trust the Lord that he can really take care of your sins. I don't know how he did it, but he said he would. And he said he could. And I don't know how. I don't even have a receipt for it. Well, you know what? I don't have a physical receipt, but I got the Spirit of God living within. Amen. Being sealed by the Spirit of God. The unbelieving sinner declares in his heart, it's too good to be true. You know what? Understand this. Men are condemned. Men and women are condemned because they do not believe. John 3:18 and 19. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The word of the words of the Lord Jesus from his very mouth. He that believeth on him, the Son of God, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, the Lord Jesus, has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. They love the sin more than they love the Lord Jesus. They love the sin more than they love their Creator and their God, who says, come unto me, I'll give you rest. I'll take care of that load. I'll relieve you of that and bless you with the blessing of Abraham. You know what, Brother Abraham, Brother Mark's glad he can call him Abraham now. But you have the challenge not to call him Moses, right? Brother Abraham, I mean, I tell you what, he's got a pile of blessings upon him, doesn't he? Still being reckoned today, will be reckoned throughout eternity. And you know what? For the child of God, it's the same way. How the blessing of Abraham is beyond what we can comprehend. You can't number it. Well, can you number your blessing from the Lord, child of God? We cannot, can we? We cannot reckon it. It could never be tallied. You either here or not saved. I tell you what, you are condemned loving your sin rather than repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this in this verse number 3. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know what, in this context, and in the coming verses, I think make this portion clear. And I think in this portion of this verse number 3, we could go a couple different directions. But the Lord impressed this upon my heart regarding this. Listen, from the creation, there's always been a promise of rest in our Lord. From the very first week, the seventh day. In the Lord creating one day of seven that has been since the beginning has spoken to the rest promised by our Lord. Rest only found in Him. Isn't that something? All the way, the first week on the last day our Lord rested. Now, was the Lord tired? No, He wasn't tired. But He gave an example, didn't He? He made a different day. He told Brother Adam, told Adam, you dress the garden and you tend to it and you enjoy it, but don't eat of that tree in the middle. And then on the seventh day, I think the instruction of the Lord by His example was unto Adam, on the seventh day of the week, you take a break. Don't do any dressing. Don't do any dressing of the garden. And Adam had it easy. But the Lord made that distinction. See, it's always been spoken from our Lord from the beginning, at the foundation of the world, that there is rest promised by our Lord. Rest only found in Him. And you know what? Listen to this. In light of that, men have trampled on this day from the beginning. Heathen nations have taken and regarded the seventh day before our Lord Jesus came and did what He did on Calvary. They've trampled on the seventh day, making it a day just like all others. And you know what? It tramples upon the fact and the example that there's rest in the Lord, stomping on it. The Scriptures talk about taking Christ and crucifying Him afresh and trampling on the gospel, or the work of the Lord on the cross. It tells us that further on in Hebrews. That's what men have done in regards to the rest of the Lord. No, there's no rest in the Lord. I've got to do this thing my way. I've got to do it the way it makes sense. I've got to find my own way. There's no time for rest. There's no time for the Lord. But this token, another token, of one day of seven indeed speaks to the rest that can only be found in Him. We're to rest on that day, and we're to worship Him on that day. Now, in our time, since Jesus raised from the dead after His death and burial, raised from the dead and then met with His church on the first day of the week, we get the order even better. What better way to start our week than experience than the rest of the Lord? Amen? Putting the Lord first. Worshiping Him first in the week. Taking the Lord and putting Him even where He belongs. You know, what the Lord gave in the seventh day was right and good for that time until Jesus said today. Today's the day of worship, and that pattern that we see in the Scriptures. Yet one day of seven that is to be dedicated for our Lord's. Oh, granted, for the flesh, we may not get much rest today. But I tell you what, it's to be a day that's different. It's to be a day that's dedicated unto our Lord. And understand this, we meet with our families and enjoy our families, but the Lord's day is not family day. The Lord's day is the Lord's day. And you know what? It speaks about the rest, the difference that we find only in Him. Isn't that something? Verse number 4 of Hebrews 4. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day. See that? On this wise. Immediately after that comment in verse number there, that statement in verse number 3. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, a promise of rest. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. It gives us clarity about that, I think. There's been a testimony from the beginning that rest is only found in our Lord. Jesus says in John chapter 9, verse number 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28, He saith unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It was made to be a blessing for you and me, not for us to worship it. We are to take the day and worship our God. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. See, the Lord is right in the middle of that day of rest, isn't He? In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, one of the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, the fourth. It's the Lord's day. And it speaks to you and me about the rest that we only have in our Lord. Isn't that something? 6 days to work and one in which to rest. I'm not setting any kind of time, but isn't it interesting that this old world's been around about 6,000 years? Isn't it interesting that our Lord says that there's going to be a millennial reign? I don't know. Today, we start off our week, as we said, with rest and worship of our Lord. What better way to start it? Verse number 5 of Hebrews 4. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. As He said in verse number 3, by faith in Him. Verse number 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, there are yet those being saved. And they to whom it was first preached entered in because of unbelief. You know what? Anybody entering in now? You here today and not saved? I tell you what, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, you can enter into that rest of salvation. I tell you what, you won't go anywhere. Jesus says He's the door. You can try to go some other way, you're a foreigner, you're a robber, you're a thief. But I tell you what, you come in by the door, you can enter into rest. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? He says here in verse number 6, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Be warned. Verse 7, again He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's that simple. Trust in Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't harden your heart that it won't work. Don't harden your heart that He can't save. Don't harden your heart that it's too simple. Don't harden your heart that it's got to make more logical sense to your old carnal human mind. I tell you what, believe Him. Believe Him. Because you know what? He is our rest indeed. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As we mentioned earlier and read in Psalm 95, verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, You know what? We need to hear his voice as we walk, don't we, as his children? And you know what? You, too, by faith in Christ and resting, trusting in him, you, too, can be the people of that pasture. I tell you what, the Lord says outside are wolves and robbers and goats and the unbelieving and those that are against him. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the provocation, as they did in the day of temptation in the wilderness. We must believe him today, and we must believe him forever. Amen? To have rest. To have rest. We must continue to believe our Lord. Brother John writes that in his epistles. Our Lord is true. Our Lord is trustworthy. He is faithful in all that he promises. The scripture bears out, even in this very book, that God cannot lie. He references Brother Abraham, and he says, by two immutable things, and that God cannot lie. He said, blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee. And you know what? That's what he does to sinners that'll repent of their sins and receive Christ. He'll take your sins away, and he will bless you more than your cup could even think about holding. Amen? Because he's the God of rest, the God of rest and the God of mercy indeed. Verse number 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, and I believe this is speaking about complete rest in every aspect, as we'll see, then he would have not afterwards spoken of another day. Verse number 9, there remaineth therefore rest unto the people of God. I believe that this is speaking about our rest and glory with our Lord. You know what? We've got rest of the soul and peace with God in the salvation of our souls. But you know what? We have a hope of being with our Savior. One day faith will give way to sight. And you know what? We will rest indeed. We've got parents with young families. And I tell you what, if there's anybody that knows about tired, it's parents, young parents with young families. They know about tired, don't they? But you know, one day, having the Lord as our Savior, there will be that eternal rest in glory with our Lord Jesus. And I heard a voice that says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I tell you what, there's an eternal rest that we have with our Lord in glory. Verse number 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, and I believe that's complete in every way, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. There's yet another rest and glory. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, salvation, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Thirdly, we see that we have our rest and obedience and service of him. See, we are bought with a price, the scripture says, and we are not our own. Before we walked according to the prince and the power, the course of this world, and the prince and the power of the air. But now, having been saved by our Lord, where do you get your marching orders from? Heaven. Amen. From our Lord. He saved us. He's called us. He expects us to be his disciples. That's the pattern. That's what the Lord has ordained. And you know what? You got rest in being obedient to our Lord. Being obedient to our Lord, don't we? You know what? When the child of God, you know how it is with your own children. When they're obedient, there's satisfaction there and that obedience in there. The parent smiles upon the child, and the child is happy and content when they've been obedient. I tell you what, let the child go off and be disobedient. You find that even the child is hiding from the parent when the parent doesn't know everything that's going on because they're harboring guilt. They know they've been disobedient, and they know with that guilt, indeed, we've all experienced, there's no rest when you've got guilt hanging over you, huh? Our rest and obedience and service to him. Verse number 11, listen to this. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. See, I don't need to go things. You and I don't need to go this life our own way. cease from his own works as God did from his. Verse 11, listen, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Listen to the word used, labor. Now, for the first rest, can we labor for that rest? No, it's by faith. Can we labor for the rest of glory? No, it's by faith. But you know what? The labor of service and obedience, Jesus said, the daytime is the time to work, the time to be obedient, the time to take this old flesh and mortify it and pin it down, to wrangle and wrestle with this old man and feed the new man and put the old man down, to hear and to get in the Word of God and hear what the Lord says to us. There's much weariness in the studying of the Scriptures for the flesh. But I tell you what, it's always a blessing to the new man and the spirit that lives within. He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Brother Peter speaks that way about falling. Does he not? If we add to our faith, we will never fall. Amen. Our lives can be saved. This old flesh can be taken and used to glorify our Lord by taking the Word of God and applying it to our lives. What do we see here? And it's interesting that this verse, hallmark passage that we refer to and know very well and refer to often, again, it's reiterated. Today, if you will hear His voice, what is it that comes from the voice? There's breathing to create the voice. There's breathing to utter words. And then by those words, we know the desire and the command of our Lord. Verse number 12, or let's read it again. For he that has entered into his rest, verse 10, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is alive, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It flushes out motive. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Interesting that he'd bring up about the Word of God, huh? But that's the instruction. That's the instruction. That's the directive for all. I tell you what, you want the rest of the salvation of your soul? Hear the Word of the Lord. You want to have a rest in glory with your Savior? Hear the Word of the Lord. Child of God, you want to have that rest in obedience and service? Hear the Word of the Lord. Be filled with it and hearken unto it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Verse number 14, looking unto Jesus, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I tell you what, He is faithful for us in every way. You break your leg, and I come up to you and I said, brother, sister, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I know how you feel, and I'm sorry you've broken your leg. Oh, Brother Jim, have you broken your leg? No. You've never broken your leg? No. Well, then how do you know how I feel? I tell you what, Jesus knows. He knows everything that we face. And you know what He says? Come to me. I'll give you rest. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome this old world that you live in. I will give you rest. We have help in Him. He's faithful in every way. Verse number 16. This all of these things being the case in this chapter, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the throne of favor. The Lord favors His children that we may obtain mercy Yeah, that we might have some mercy that we need to live in this old world, to have that rest that is only promised and can only come from our Lord, and find grace, find favor to help in time of need. Because we're needy, aren't we? Yeah, we need that rest. We want that rest. I tell you what, there's no other place to get it than with the Lord. In conclusion, we see here in this chapter, and we've just glanced across it, but indeed, there's a rest and salvation of one's soul only found in our Lord. There's a rest and glory one day to be with our Savior and see Him face to face and be with Him for eternity. It's only found in our Lord. And there's a rest indeed in obedience and service to Him in this life. You know what? We can rest. How could Brother Stephen submit himself to the stoning that he did in, what, Acts chapter 7? How could he do so with such a willingness and such a cheerful heart? You know what? He rested in his Lord. I trust that each one here can know this rest and does know the rest that is found in our Lord.